John's Gospel, chapter 12, please. Gospel of John, the chapter 12. And we break into the reading at the verse 20 this morning, please. John 12, the verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come, that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it, and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Amen. And may the Lord richly bless the reading of his precious word. Is the verse 20 and 21. We will be looking at other verses, but let me draw your attention to these two verses in particular. There were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. A story is told of two men who were traveling back from India to England by boat. One was an English hunter. The other was a missionary. They got talking on that long journey and they found out the purpose of their being in India for all of those years. The hunter, he turned to the missionary, says, You know, I have been in the land of India for 25 years. And those 25 years, I never saw one native converted to Christ. The missionary said, That's odd. How many tigers did you see? The man said, I saw hundreds. And I killed hundreds. Well, said the missionary, I've never saw a tiger. But I've saw plenty of Christians. And I've saw plenty of men and women, natives of India, coming and and putting their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, one was looking for tigers. The other one was looking for souls. Let me ask you the question this morning. What are you looking for in life? These men, as we read in this verse, the verse 20 and 21, these men, these Greek men, came with that desire. We want to see Jesus. We don't want to go through life on our own. We don't want to go through life enjoying it to the best of our ability and having all of the glamour and all of the privileges, all of those things that are found in this world. We want to see Jesus. This is our final time that we will come to the temple in the Lord's final week. He had just finished his public sermon. That sermon which he used to emphasize to the people the falsehood of the Pharisees. We had studied it over those 2 weeks, the works of the Pharisees, the falseness of them. We went through the different woes that were given to the Pharisees. We went through the warning that was given to the Pharisees. Now, as the Lord's time in the temple is coming to a close, we come to it one last time. Because as the Lord finished his preaching, as the Lord finished that exhortation to the people, as the Lord finished that sermon of warning, of judgment towards the Pharisees, towards the Jewish leaders, there are those that were there with a hunger and thirst for righteousness. There were those within that gathering that day that were not content just to leave and go back to their homes. They longed for more. Their burden, their passion within their souls was not for the material things of this world, was not to carry on in life as they were going on, but rather they wanted more. They wanted Christ. They had made their way there for that feast. So many in and around that temple at that time, we've looked at that over the weeks, the many, many thousands, hundreds of thousands of people that gathered from all over Judea, all over Israel, all over the world, as it were. They came and they gathered to that place for that special time. And here was Greeks, non-Jews, but yet they had a love for God. Yet they had an obedience for God's word. They had an understanding of what the Old Testament taught, of the importance of the feasts. And so they left their lives, they left their possessions behind, and they came at those times. And those Greek men, as they stood in the temple, as they listened, they saw the great distinction, the great difference that there was between the Pharisees and Christ. They saw the great difference in terms of religion. They saw the great difference in terms of lifestyle. They saw the great difference in terms of perfection compared to the sins of the Pharisees. But yet, as we read on down the passage, sadly there was only one group that longed for Christ. For what did we read in the verse 37? Though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Why is it today, and why is it down through the generations, and why is it right across the world, men and women hear the gospel message, men and women have the privilege of coming under the sound of God's precious word, of hearing their need of salvation, of hearing of the Lord Jesus Christ who can save them? Why is it that men and women reject? Why is it that they have no desire to have the righteousness within their lives? Why is it they'd rather stay in their sins and chances, as they would put it, and live their lives in outright rebellion to God's word? What will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The Greeks sought Jesus. I want you to notice three things this morning from this passage. I want you to notice firstly, in verse 20, the people. The people. There were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. Now, isn't it interesting, at the start and at the end of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's Gentiles who sought Christ. Whenever the Lord was born, whenever he was laid in that manger, whenever that star appeared in the sky, who was it? Who was it that began that journey from their far distant country? It was the wise men of the East. They came to Jerusalem. They came before the king. They said, "We saw the star. We come looking, the child that's been born." Not one Jew went. The Gentiles did. And here at the end of the life of Christ, here at the last week of his life, before he will die upon the cross, here once again, it's not the Jews that seek him, it's the Jews that rejected him. Rather, it's the Gentiles that come once again. It's the Greeks. You know, one of the major themes in John's gospel is that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Not simply the Redeemer of Israel. John 1, verse 29, he's referred to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John 3 and 16, the Lord said himself, "For God so loved the world." John 4, 42, the Samaritans identified with him as the Savior of the world. John 6, 33, he giveth life unto the world. John 8 and 12, he is the light of the world. John 10 and verse 16, he will bring other sheep, not of this fold. And John, throughout his gospel, he emphasizes time and time again, the Lord Jesus Christ did not just die for the people of Israel. Rather, there are other sheep. There are Gentile people within all nations, all kindreds, all tongues that the Lord Jesus Christ hung upon the cross for. He will redeem them unto himself. Yes, but preacher, hold on a minute. Because didn't the Lord say himself in Matthew 15 and the verse 24, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of Israel"? Yes, he did. But men and women this morning, even as we mentioned this to the young people in the Sunday school this morning, the offices of Christ. Three offices of Christ: prophet, priest, king. As priest, Christ was sent to be the Savior, to be the Redeemer of all of God's elect. He was the priest who offered the sacrifice being himself there upon the cross. He is the king. He reigns as sovereign supreme. But within his life, the prophet, the charge, the office of the prophet, and his personal ministry, who was he sent to? He was sent to the people of Israel. He preached to the people of Israel. He went through the land, Capernaum, Galilee, all of those places. He was the preacher to the Jews. Romans 15, the verse 8, tells us Jesus Christ was the minister of the circumcision. He preached to the Jews. I believe it's very significant that here, as his preaching ministry is coming to a close, as his final sermon has just been preached to the Jewish people, I believe it's very telling, it's very interesting, that here at the end of his public ministry, here comes Gentiles seeking Christ. Oh, what a sign, what a beautiful picture it is of what is to come. That Christ would then die upon the cross, would rise from the dead, ascend up into glory. The Spirit of God would come down in the day of Pentecost. Thousands of souls see of the book of Acts as we're studying through it. What happens? The message of the gospel goes to the Gentiles. Out of every kindred, out of every nation, out of every tongue, souls are saved. But here in the temple, the Greeks are there desirous to know and to see Christ. These Greeks, I believe, were sincere people. I believe these Greeks, feast by feast, they were there. They had an understanding, as I've already said, they had an understanding of the Word of God. They had an understanding and, yea, a desire to observe the Jewish law. They had a desire to come to these feast days, to come to offer sacrifices and do what they could to offer their prayers, to be in attendance, to obey the Word of God. They realized their heathenness was wrong. They realized that their pagan worship, their idolatry in their own land was wrong. They wanted something. Something not of this world. And they found it in the Scriptures. They found Christ. Do you see how they found Christ? They read, they studied the Word of God, they came to the feast, but the minute that they were in the temple and the moment they heard the Lord preaching, they didn't clear off. They didn't follow the Pharisees. They realized this is the one. This is the one of the Old Testament. This man's different. This is the prophesied Son of God. And they came and they desired we would see Jesus. The grace of God was there in their lives. The work of the Spirit had already drawn them to that place. Everything was in place for them to meet with Christ. They're found in the right place at the right time, not by chance. Their ears are open to the Word of God, even as Christ has preached it forth. Their eyes have been enlightened. Their eyes have been opened. It's not the Jews that we want. It's not the Pharisees that we want. It's not just the law of God that we want. It's the Son of God that we want. Some commentators believe that these Greek men, they knew the Syrophoenician lady, Mark 7:26, who was a Greek. They had heard how Christ in his mercy had healed that lady's little girl. The Bible doesn't say. But whatever the trigger was that drew them to the Lord, that gave them that desire, that hunger after the thirst and righteousness, whether it was testimony or even, as I've said, finding Christ in the Scriptures, they saw the difference. They saw the difference between life and death. They saw the difference between the joy that's found in Christ and the hardships, the burdens that are found with the Pharisees. They saw the burden bearer in one hand, and then they saw the burden giver in the other hand. And they came, they desired Christ. I know that that would be within each one of us today. That you're not simply here to spend an hour, but each and every one has that desire to see Christ. Unsaved this morning, oh, that that would be in your heart, that you realize there is nothing of this world. There is no joy, there is no pleasure, there is no satisfaction to be found in this world. And even as we've mentioned already today, and we highlight it again, the depths of darkness, the depths of sin that is even within our little land, an immorality that is on all fronts within our land, that it would even open up our eyes, that the Lord would even use the depths of those sin to open our eyes to the realization that the world is not our friend. There's There's nothing in this world will give you any joy or peace. Rather, it'll drive you to the depths of hell. Though, like the Greeks, even at this stage, they're empty. They don't have Christ. Oh, that we would have that desire within us. We want to see Jesus. See, these men weren't even happy to stay in the false religion. These men saw the Pharisees for who they were. These men saw the deadness of that religion. There's no point being caught up in a dead religion. The Greeks didn't look to the Pharisees. They didn't accept the Pharisaical religion. They didn't accept the scribes. They didn't accept all that was happening in the temple at that time. They saw it's not God glorifying, and it's not the proper religion. It's not what we should have. People. Then to verse 21, I want you to see this morning the plea. See him came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Oh, what a difference there is to their approach compared to that of the Jewish leaders. Jewish leaders, they barged into the scene. As the Lord was there, as all of the men and women had been gathered around him, we read just the other week of how that day all of those bands of people, the Jewish leaders, the elders, the scribes, the Pharisees, they stormed, as it were, into the audience. And they stormed right up to Christ, and they really pinned him nearly to the wall and pinned him away from his people. They rushed in upon him. They sought to startle him, to disrupt them, to scare them, as it were. But here are these men. What a difference there is in their approach. They don't come straight to Christ. Rather, they come with that meekness, with that humility, and they come to Philip, Sir, we want to see Jesus. But whilst there's respect and humility, I want you to see the intensity. That word desired, there in the verse 21, they desired him, can be translated, beseeched, entreated. They basically plagued him. The burden was such upon their hearts, they didn't just ask once and then hope for the best. They kept coming and coming to Philip. Philip, sir, 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 let us see Jesus. That hunger, that intensity was within them. We need to see him. It's a necessity to see him. You see the difference between the Greeks and Zacchaeus? Remember when we looked at Zacchaeus as Christ began his journey? The word is the same for both Zacchaeus and here in the Greek. The word is exact same for see. But do you see the difference? Zacchaeus came to that crowd, and all he wanted to do was just to see Christ. And if he could have stood in the crowd and saw past all of those heads, that was fine. But he couldn't. So what did he do? He went up a tree, and he was up the tree. He looked down. He saw Jesus. That's all he wanted to do. But there's a difference here with the Greeks. They laid hold upon Philip. Philip, we need to see him. It's not just to stand in an audience and look at him. Philip, we need to talk to him. We need to know him. Philip, we need to be in his company. We can't just stand in the fringes and look. We need in with Christ. And we're not going
until you gotta get us in.
You see the difference between the Pharisees and the Greeks? You know, at that very time, what were the Pharisees doing? They were plotting to kill him. Christ had confounded them. Christ had answered their questions, presented them with one unanswerable question, and from that time they never spoke another word. Then he brought the sermon against them, all of those woes against the Pharisees, and then what happened? The Pharisees met together to kill him. The Pharisees sought to kill him. The Greeks sought to see him. You see the difference between the Greeks and the Jews? Matthew 12, the verse 38, what did the Jews say? Sir, we would see a sign. The Greeks, sir, we would see the Savior. Why is it today so many in this world want to see signs? Why is it today so many in this world will say, oh, if only I could see something literally happening, then I would believe. If only I could see fire coming down from the sky, or if only I could see some literal thing happen where some amazing change will take place, then I'll believe. Nothing's changed, has it? Because what did we read in the verse 37? Though he had done so many miracles before them, they had saw sign after sign after sign after sign. Blind men healed, lame healed, even the dead coming out of tombs, 4 days rotten, healed, walking perfectly fine. And they still never believed. What are you waiting for, sinner? What is stopping you from coming to Christ? What sign are you waiting for? Are you expecting a bolt of lightning out of the sky to come down? What is stopping you from coming to Christ? Sign doesn't save. Savior saves. A sign doesn't cleanse you from sin. The Savior cleanses you from sin. A sign doesn't give you peace. The Savior gives you peace. What did these Greeks plead for and plead for? An experience? No. An emotional high? No. They simply wanted to meet Christ, to be with him, to have that sweet fellowship and communion with their Savior. Let me tell you, men and women, boys and girls, this morning, there is nothing as sweet and there is nothing as special as having fellowship with Christ. There is no one in this world could ever give you fellowship and company and communion like Christ can. There is no one that has ever lived upon this earth or will ever live that could give you as sweet and as special a relationship and friendship as what can be found in Christ. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's the one, even as we looked at this morning with the young people in the Sunday school, he's the one that never leaves and never forsakes. And here's the Greeks. And it's all they want. the joy, the happiness, the contentment of being in the presence of God. You know, isn't it striking, that last sermon of the Lord's? He never spoke once of union and communion with himself, with the Jewish leaders. But after the Greeks said, "Sirs, we would see Jesus," we then find verse 25 and 26, "He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me." There's the communion. There's a union with Christ. "Where I am, there shall also my servant be." There's a union, communion. "If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." There's a union, the communion. You're with Christ. See, the fellowship is only for those who sought the Lord. That's why Christ never spoke of it before then. That's why Christ in his last sermon never mentioned about union, communion with him, with the Pharisees, because they didn't seek him. They sought to destroy him. But here are these men, these Greek men, they desire, we want to see, we want to know, we want to be with Jesus. And the Lord then promises that any that follow me will be with me. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Not second. Seek it first. "And his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." "Ask, it shall be given. Seek, ye shall find." The plea, we want to see Jesus. What's your plea today? What's your longing in life today? Health? Money? Family? Only for a season? The Greeks? We want Christ. Forever. The people, the plea. I want you to see, thirdly and finally, my time's gone, but I want you to see the verse 24, the price. The price. What was the price for the Greeks being with Christ? What is the price for each and every one of us to have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ? What is the price for us to be in union and communion with God? Verse 24, it's the death of Christ. "Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." In verse 32, "If I be lifted up from the earth, it will draw all men unto myself." The Greeks came with their desire. We want to see, we want to know, we want to be with Jesus. And Christ spells it out so clearly. For you to be with me, I must die. And I must be buried. Because it's only after I'm buried will the life come. You see the illustration that the Lord uses? Takes that little corn. He speaks of it. What good's a bit of corn in your hand? What good is it if you've a seed in your hand? You're sitting with a seed in your hand. What's it going to do? It's just going to sit there in your hand. But you put that seed down into the ground and you cover it over. What's going to happen? It's going to bring forth life. See, my friend, for us to have union and communion with the Lord, for us to see the Lord, for us to know Him, for us to be with Him, first of all, the great chasm that is separating God from man, that chasm of sin, it had to be dealt with. The great gulf fixed between God and man, sin shut the door of heaven, but the grace of God opened it. Christ had to be lifted up. He had to be suspended between heaven and earth. Why? He might draw men unto Himself. He had to go down into the cave, the grave. Had He be put in that tomb. That from the tomb He arose. And we have life. There's beauty and there's bounty when a seed fulfills its purpose. Had to be the suffering before the glory. Had to be the cross before there could be the crown. Verse 27 begins the travail of the Lord for the cross. The Lord testified Himself, "Now is my soul troubled." His face set as a flint towards Jerusalem, towards the cross. He knew the price had to be paid. And He was willing, and He went. He was obedient unto His Father, even unto death, the death of the cross, to pay the price of every single sin of His people. The wages of sin is death. And for each one this morning that is in Christ, Christ paid it in full. But if you're outside of Christ, you'll pay your own price. But the difference is you'll never pay it in full, so you'll never see Christ. Hell is real. And there are men and women, young people in hell today that will never have communion and union with Christ because they'll never pay their debt. But yet here you are, and Christ is standing ready and willing to take your sin and to pay your debt that you might come and have union with Him and have fellowship, communion with Him. But just like the Greeks, you need to come. They came. They asked, they pleaded, "We must see Jesus." Sinner, will you come today? Just as you are, with just one plea, give me Jesus.